The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm honored and excited to have Nitsan here from the Traveling Investor here with us today. Nitsan, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Cody. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm definitely honored to have you here. I know you're a really busy guy and super active in the community, but just in case there are some folks out there that don't know who you are, would you mind giving us a little bit of background about how you got into real estate, where you're from, and kind of the things you're up to these days?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm born and raised in New York City. I'm first generation American. My parents came over from Israel. When I was a young kid, my dad always drilled into us that anybody that owns a piece of land free and clear is probably a very wealthy person, in the sense that no one could ever take it away from you. You could do with it what you want. You can build on it. You can rent it. You can, you know, all kinds of things, borrow against it. He always put that in my mind and into my brother's minds as well. And, you know, another thing he always used to tell us is that there's two types of people in this world, those that pay rent and those that collect. And son, you always want to collect. So that was kind of, you know, my introduction into real estate. And, growing up with my father and my brothers, buying real estate, being inside of it, always doing the dirty jobs, right? Fixing the water towers, fixing the elevators, painting the stairwells and doing all that. And my father always told me, he goes, you know, you need to learn everything from the inside, how everything works inside, so that when you're doing it or when you get somebody else to do it, you know that they're doing a good job. So that's kind of how I got my taste of real estate. And since then, it's always been in the background of my life and whatnot. And then at the age of 25, my father kind of passed away, and that shot me for a big spiral. And I left New York. I went traveling for many, many years, became a traveling hippie, as I like to call it, and settled in Florida in 2009. And got back into real estate and started flipping houses and, you know, buying, but I noticed that when I was flipping a house, as soon as I sold it, I wasn't making any more money. And then I had to go find another house and then another house. And I saw the end coming. And I remembered my father's wisdom and words, you know, collect, rent, you know, have other people pay your bills and your mortgages for you. So I started looking for multifamily, found a mentor who could teach me multifamily, got involved in it. And, you know, 12 years later, here I am, now the traveling investor. And now I help people get into real estate as well, teach them, mentor them, coach them, whatever it takes to help people achieve success and build a life that they can be proud of.
Awesome. Well, hey, that is incredibly sound advice, especially at a young age, being able to recall that. I mean, what a great way to learn and get into it, get your hands dirty, understand the ins and outs. So no one can take advantage of you. You really know what it really takes to run a real estate career, you know, and we know here with our guest and what we're talking about, it's not always easy. Obviously, you've had your trials and tribulations. A lot of our guests have, but I wanted to see if anything came to mind for you today, a particular experience that sticks out that maybe you can educate our audience on, some things that people don't always see in the real estate or don't always expect. But if you do, how do you get out of it, or how do you navigate those troubled waters?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's easy. Or I should say it's simple, but it's not easy, right? It's a simple process. It's not rocket science. You go, you find real estate, you do your numbers, you analyze it, you buy it, and you fix it up. And there's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, for myself, I'm not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. I always knew that I needed other people around me to help me achieve the success that I wanted. But one, you know, I recall the first multifamily property I'd put under contract with my business partner. It was a 27 unit property in Leesburg, Florida. Never heard of Leesburg. You know, it was about an hour and a half north of Orlando. Never heard of it. My partner was living in Miami at the time. We went up there. We saw the property. We put the property under contract. The day our money went hard, non-refundable, our earnest money deposit, we found out that the property was getting subsidized from the agricultural department. Now, who knew that the agricultural department, the USDA, gave housing subsidies, right? Who knew?
Yeah, I would not have known that at all.
right? So here we are. And so the day that our money went non-refundable, we found out that as soon as we took ownership, as soon as ownership changed hands of the property, that subsidy would disappear.
Oh.
That was not told to us. The broker knew, didn't tell. The owner knew, didn't tell. The attorneys from the owner knew. No one shared anything with us. And, you know, we were freaking out that we were going to now spend $500,000 on a property that had zero income, because the tenants that were living there, they were people that needed 100% subsidy from the government to pay for their rent.
Sure.
You know, these were old veterans, Vietnam vets, sick people, you know, that they just, and they weren't moving anywhere. They couldn't get up and leave. So we were kind of freaking out, you know, what, oh my God, here we are. We just committed. Our money went non-refundable. What do we do? Thank God we had a good coach and mentor and, you know, back office support that, that guided us and helped us through this process of what do we do? You know, it's not my first rodeo in real estate, but it was my first rodeo in multifamily. And here we are, you know, out of the gate. Oh my God, what do we do? Thousands and thousands of dollars are on the line here. We can't walk away. We're going to lose our money. What do we do? So we got an attorney. We discussed it with them. We discussed it with the broker and the seller's attorney and so forth. And, you know, we were able to extend the closing period or the due diligence period so that we could speak with the agricultural department. We could speak with Section 8. We could re-up the property and get that subsidy back. So what happened was the property wasn't qualified anymore because it was not well maintained. So we went to Section 8 and they said, yeah, we're willing to give each tenant a voucher, a Section 8 voucher, but we can't promise you that they'll stay in the property. And, you know, we said that's not a problem because we know that they're not going anywhere. They can't afford to leave. They're sick. They're old. They're not going anywhere. Long story short, we got the subsidies, all the tenants. And our goal was from the beginning was to make sure that none of these people lost their homes. You know, that was key for us. You know, because you could kick these people out to the street, have a property, renovate it, and then lease up again, and you're good to go. But that's not the kind of business that we wanted to generate. That's not the energy that we wanted to put out to the universe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We wanted to do right by people. And that's, you know, starting off on the right foot with your business and your company says a lot, right? And just moves you in that right direction. So we got the extension, we got all that. And at that time, we kind of so shaken up with the property and the entire ordeal that we didn't even want to continue owning the property. So we found another buyer and we wholesaled it to them. We flipped it to them. We made some nice money. They bought it. They still manage the property today. And it's been over 10 years and they're happy and we're happy. So that was our first out of the gate experience in multifamily.
Sure. That's a doozy of a one to jump into right away. I mean, I'm not sure what more complicated scenario one could come up with for their first one. Thinking back to, and thankfully you did have a mentor to guide and lead you through that process.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder though, thinking back for somebody that's looking at buying a property, maybe it's their 10th or their first in multifamily, is there anything that could have been done differently or that you could have asked or something in the due diligence period that could have come out or that you wish you would have done differently that would have brought that type of information to light?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, being that we were so green, right? We were taking other people for their word and so forth. You know, it's great. People you can, you know, there are people that you can trust. There are people that you can't trust. You know, I'm from New York, right? So what do us New Yorkers say? Trust, but verify.
There you go. Okay.
Right? Yeah. I'm a New York skeptic, right? So going in, you got to do your due diligence, right? You can, you know, take what the broker is saying, take what the owner is saying, take what their attorney is saying. You can trust their word, but just verify. Because if you're going out there and you're raising money from other investors and other people and you're taking their money to put it in, you got to do your homework. We didn't do our homework that well, right? We could have called the agricultural department and say, hey, what does the subsidies look like during our due diligence period? What's going on there? We just took it for granted that everything was going to be okay, right? And it happened to me a couple of other times where, you know, we take for granted what we're being told without verifying, without checking. Yeah, it'll be fine. Don't worry. Don't worry. And then we're in a heap of, you know what, and we got to now dig ourselves out of it. So, you know, fool me once, right? Fool me twice. We got to learn from our mistakes. So doing the due diligence, asking the hard questions, verifying everything that somebody's telling you, that's what you need to do. It doesn't matter, like you said, your first deal or your 100th deal. You got to do your due diligence. You got to open up every single door, every single cabinet. You got to walk on every single roof, check every single hot water heater. Don't take anything for granted. Talk to, you know, if there's subsidies, talk to the Section 8, talk to the agriculture, whoever's giving the subsidies. Find out all the information so that you know exactly what it is you're acquiring. You know, that's what you can do.
Well, and I think that's sound advice, as you said, whether it's your first or your 100th acquisition, you got to do that due diligence. Would it be safe to say that, especially on some of the folks that are finding themselves, this is going to be their first, maybe second property, if they're doing that due diligence, which at the end of the day, this is business. Right. It's our responsibilities as syndicators and whatnot in the real estate profession to do that due diligence, to make sure we're making a sound business decision. That if with the market the way it is now, and we all know where it is, if a broker or somebody else, an owner is really pushing, saying, hey, we have other offers, they're not asking for this stuff. Would you give the advice maybe to someone who is new that if they're pushing for that and you can't feel comfortable with all the due diligence you had, maybe you want more, it may just not be the right property for you. Probably worth walking away and finding a different one. That's what I'm assuming, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
Absolutely. Some of the best deals you'll do are the ones that you don't do.
I love that.
To be able to walk away.
Yeah.
There's strength and there's power when you can look at a broker or an owner and say, thank you, but no thank you. This deal is not for me. You can go to sleep at night wholeheartedly, comfortably knowing I did not risk myself. I didn't risk my company. I didn't risk other people's money in a deal or an opportunity that I wasn't 100% sure on. And you know what? I get a lot of, you know, I deal with a lot of mom and pop owners. And well, you know what? We don't have the financials. We don't have this. And I asked them, I said, really, you don't have financials. So how are you paying your taxes? What are you giving to your CPA? Whatever you gave to your CPA, I want to see. I want to see your tax returns. I want to see. Well, no, I'm not going to give you that. Oh, no, I'm not. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Right.
There's another property right behind. What happens and what I've seen happen is, especially with new people that are getting into the business, right? They've been in it for a month, 3, 4, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. And like, oh, I want a deal already.
Right.
They'll start playing with the numbers to make it work. They'll say, oh, don't worry about that. I don't need that. Delinquency reports. You're not going to give me delinquency reports. That's fine. I'll do it. And then they close on the deal. And then 50% of the property is not paying. Now they can't make their mortgage payments. And they're going, oh my God, what did I just get myself into? It's better not to get into that deal.
Yeah.
Right. Than to get into a bad deal.
Man, I love that advice. And I think no matter what, like you said, your first deal or your 100th, it's always better to say no, protect your investors, protect your business, protect your name, and walk away from it. Make sure it's the right decision for everything and everyone involved. So,
absolutely.
Well, I think that's a fantastic advice and as good enough place as ever to kind of wrap up. For those that maybe want to hear more about your mentorship and how you educate others, where can folks find you and follow up with you?
Sure. So you can go to my website, www.traveling-investor.com. You can check me out. I'm on all social media as The Traveling Investor. You can go to YouTube, check out my channel, The Traveling Investor. Got a lot of videos with great content, information, showing people how to get started, and reach out to me. And what I'd like to do also is I'd like to offer your listeners a free gift, an ebook that I've got on how to get started with multifamily investing. So, you know, anybody that listens to this, to your podcast, you know, I'll have my assistant send it over to you and you can just give it to them and share it with them, because my goal is to help people achieve massive success so they can live life on their terms. That's my goal.
Wow. That's a first here. So everyone who's listening, please take advantage of it. Also go check out the YouTube. It is really great content. We really appreciate it. For all of us here and our audience at home, we really appreciate it. Thank you for the time and all the experience and expertise. And we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.